Amen. And that should be our prayer this morning. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. What are we seeking? Privacy or publicity? Romans chapter 12. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house today. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would have his way in each of our hearts now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye what? Present, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What are we seeking for? Privacy or publicity? Are we seeking for, I just want to go hide. I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to be around any people. I just want to go and be by myself. Or are we seeking a life where we want everyone around us applauding and so on? Why do people seek privacy in life? Well, sometimes because they do. They just want to be left alone. There's nothing wrong with times of privacy. We all need times of privacy. Mark 6. Let's look at Mark chapter 6. But the problem becomes is when that is the goal of our lives is to be private, alone, no one else around us. That's when there becomes a problem. Mark 6 and verse 30. Mark 6 and verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship, what? Privately. So there's a time Jesus said, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. We all need privacy. We need rest. We just need time. We need a time when we can spend with the Lord in Bible reading and in prayer. We all need our quiet time or our private time. Notice in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus practiced this. But the major goal of his life was not just to be. Leave me alone. That wasn't the major focus of his life, but there were times when Jesus needed to be alone, to be in private. Matthew 14 and verse 19. Matthew 14, 19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down in the grass and took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples. And the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about, how many? 5,000 men, beside women and children. So the thrust of his life was not seclusion. Here, he's around 5,000 people here. If you back up verse 15, his disciples kind of wanted to be alone at that point. Verse 15, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude what? Away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. So they wanted to kind of be alone at that point, and Jesus said, No, they need to be fed. So let's go back to verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there, what? Alone. So Jesus practiced times of feeding the multitude, 5,000. He didn't turn down 5,000. He fed them, and then he sent them away. And then he actually sent his disciples away. Take off. I'm going to spend some time alone in prayer. I am all for family devotions. We need times together. I knew a young man that he, in his life, did not really say much about God because in his home, his family, and they were all Christians, his family never said much about God. There wasn't any family devotions. When there was a need, the family didn't get together and pray. And those are things we need. As a family, we need to acknowledge God. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So in our homes, our children and we ourselves need to openly acknowledge, Lord, we need you. There's this need. And we need to acknowledge him even when there isn't a desperate need, because we're always in need, even when we don't know it. We never know what's facing us from one moment to another. So I'm all for family devotions, but we also need private devotions. It's not enough to have dad read the Bible and pray. That's needful, but it's not enough. Each of us need private times, and that's what Jesus gave us the example here. Even he sent the multitude away and the disciples away, and he was alone there speaking with the Father. So some privacy is good, but it's not to be the goal of our lives. Oh, to just be alone. That is not why God made us. How many of you can remember the days when of the old party line telephone? Okay. How many of you remember the days when there was no telephone? Okay. There you go. Amen. I was going to say, how many of you remember the days when you had to climb the pole to answer the telephone? No. Okay. Party line telephone. Well, for the younger generation, that didn't mean party in the sense of party. The old party line telephone meant you were not the only party on that line. There were more parties, more neighbors. And so you shared a telephone line. Some of you have lived in apartment situations where you've had to share a bathroom with other families. I don't know if sharing a telephone line is quite in the same category, but it wasn't always enjoyable. So in our home, when I was a boy, if the phone rang twice, we were to pick it up. It was a call for our house. If it rang once, it was for the neighbors. And no, you didn't listen in. Besides that, you could tell when someone picked up the other phone. There's always that click, you know, in the background. So you were kind of to be on your honesty and not listen in on the telephone, on your neighbor's telephone conversations. And of course, you knew when the neighbor wasn't home because it rang and rang and rang. And no, there were not answering machines. So it just rang and rang and rang. So, but we were to show courtesy in those days. That's all that was available to us. The one nice thing about the party line telephone is that it discouraged long telephone conversations, because if your neighbor needed to use the phone, you know, he only wanted to say, oh, excuse me, sorry, so many times, and then you're the one that felt like you needed to say, sorry, I've been on the phone too long, tying up the telephone line. So there was the good and the bad to it. But we thought it was a wonderful day when they finally offered private telephone lines. You mean I'm the only one on this line? You mean no one can listen in? You mean every time I need to use the phone, the line is actually available? I mean, we thought that was great. And it even cost extra at first to get a private line, but it wasn't too much extra, and it was well worth the money. So it's good to have some privacy in our lives. And even if it's a private telephone line, a private conversation. But notice with me in Isaiah chapter 5. But if the goal of our lives just becomes, hey, I want to earn enough money, and I want to buy me a place that's far, far away from anyone else, that should not be the focus and goal of our lives. Isaiah 5 and verse 8. Isaiah 5, verse 8. What's the first word of Isaiah 5, 8? Whoa. It's not, wow, I finally got this place. It's woe. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed, what? Alone in the midst of the earth. Now, there are times when I thought about that. There are times when I thought, wow, it would be so nice to have enough money to buy so many fields around you that when a neighbor turns on their rock and roll music, you're far enough away where you can't hear it. But I don't know, today, as loud as I crank it up, I'm not sure if you could buy that many fields. But that thought has crossed my mind. But it says, woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Why? Well, as we have seen, there's nothing wrong with privacy. But there's a time and a place for privacy. But if the goal of our lives becomes privacy, then we have forgotten why God has put us here. And one of the reasons he's put us here is to help people. Look in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Life is not just about us. It's to help others. I knew of a couple that there was a situation in where they ended up giving away their children. They ended up giving them away, foster homes, so they could be alone themselves. And I, from the little I know about the family, they seem to have money then to do a lot of things, I guess, that people with children can't do, because it costs money to have children and to feed children and to clothe children. But you know what? At the end of their lives, I would classify that family as a very lonely family. A very lonely family. And so just a life of being alone, be able to do whatever you want, not necessarily all it's cracked up to be. Luke 10, Luke chapter 10, and verse 25. Luke 10, 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. So that gets us back to Romans 12, 1 and 2. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. In other words, we are to love God with our whole being. That should be the focus of our lives. Well, what has he called us to do? After loving him supremely, then verse 27 says, and thy, who? Neighbor as thyself. So we are to love God supremely, but after God, we're to love our neighbor, we're to love people. So God didn't put us here to build a castle on some mountain 100 miles away from everyone else. Our lives, it's God's will that our lives help others. And so he goes on to talk to this man, verse 28. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and left him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He didn't get involved in the needs of others. Verse 32, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on what? The other side. He also did not get involved in the lives of others. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him and made arrangements there. So it was the Samaritan who involved his life in helping others. And that's the example that Jesus gave. No, we're not to be like the priest who didn't want to help somebody in need. No, we're not to be like the Levite who said, no, I'm not going to get involved. All they cared about was themselves. And so Acts 20:35 tells us that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so we are to be involved in our lives in giving. And so God has chosen us. He has given us a very high position in life. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, many people who are friends of people in high places get chosen for a certain position. In other words, if someone is elected as president and they're friends, some of them get chosen to fill high positions, and those positions, we see the name of them right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the what? The ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling who? The world unto himself. See, this world is far away from God, and they need to be reconciled to God. So God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He goes on to say in verse 19, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ. That is what some people that are friends of people in high places, that's what they get chosen to do, to be an ambassador to a different nation. An ambassador is someone who represents the United States in another country. And so when something really important needs to be passed on, that ambassador is the official representative of our land. We are Christ's ambassadors here on earth. We are his official representatives as Christians before a world that doesn't know him, before a world that are foreigners or aliens to God. They don't know him. We are ambassadors. Verse 20, for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him, referring to Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So God doesn't want us to buy our own mountain and be alone in the middle of the earth. God doesn't want us to buy houses and fields and get so much land that we're alone in the midst of the earth, even though that might be tempting sometimes. But God wants the focus of our lives to be involved trying to reach people. Notice in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord wants us to seek his will for our lives, not to be alone in this life. You know, if I knew the hour that I was going to die, I would want to be serving the Lord. I remember hearing years ago there was a preacher in Grand Rapids at one of the churches that was preaching, and then I think he had a heart attack right on the platform, and I don't know if he passed away there or if they got him to the hospital, I don't know, but I would love to die serving the Lord. I don't want to die sitting in a recliner of, I don't know what, watching a football game or something. I mean, I want to die serving the Lord. And Matthew 6:33. But seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, And all these things shall be added unto you. First, years ago, there was a man that called me up, and he wanted to go to Grand Rapids with us and hand out tracts. And I got kind of in trouble for telling the man he could go with me, and that's a long story. But you know what? I'd rather die serving the Lord. Yes, there's danger. I don't know, there was some city somewhere in Michigan, I believe, where there was some guy who always had his signs against abortion. I forget what city it is. Maybe you remember. But anyway, somebody came along and shot him, killed him. I don't know how old he was. But, you know, once again, you know, if I'm out on the street corner with Scripture and somebody comes along and shoots me and kills me, don't feel sorry for me. You know, take care of my family, but don't feel sorry for me. I want to serve the Lord. I want my life to be involved. I want people to remember me as someone that was trying to exalt the Lord. Not myself, but to point them to Christ, to be a true ambassador. So sometimes people seek privacy because they just want to be alone, but that can't be the focus of our lives. Yes, we all need times of privacy. Jesus himself practiced that. But that cannot become the major focus of our lives. Now, sometimes people seek privacy because they want to do evil things. The first time I ever heard about a website called MySpace was, I think, when Brother Cloud wrote about it. I never heard of such a thing. And he wrote about it and told about all the evils that were taking place. And you know, it sounds like a selfish website, MySpace. I picture a little kid saying that. Mine, my toy, MySpace. And so Brother Cloud was just pointing out there's a lot of evil. It seemed like a lot of young people had found MySpace out there and were writing things out there and pictures out there that their parents didn't know was out there and were doing bad things. And of course, it was eventually made known. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5. And it wasn't only young people. Other evil people. Sometimes married people would have MySpace out there and put things out there and were communicating with other people other than their spouses and all kinds of nasty and naughty things got going there. But Ephesians 5:3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So when people think that they are anonymous, and they're out there, like they can put a fake name and a fake age and maybe a fake picture and then start communicating with people, all kinds of naughty and nasty things get going. And I'm sure you've heard enough stories about that. So we shouldn't be seeking for MySpace. We should be seeking for God's will. We should be seeking for God's space in my life. Does God have space in my life? That should be the major goal of our lives. But have you ever noticed how the world keeps moving and gravitating to things? Because they never find satisfaction. And so what once was the craze, MySpace, now I've read that Facebook has overtaken MySpace. Now, Facebook, I don't know a lot about it, and you could probably educate me a lot about it, but Facebook, a college student, I believe he was from Harvard, is the one that designed Facebook. And it seems like to me it was a gravitation to get away from the total private space to a little more publicity. It was almost like my space, people wanted to be private and so anonymous that people really didn't even know who that space belonged to out there. Who is this person? Might not be their real name, probably isn't. Might not be their real age, probably isn't. Might not be a real picture of them, probably isn't. But people seek for privacy, and they find out there's no satisfaction there because God didn't make us to be satisfied with totally being private. And so then the world gravitated. Facebook, it probably will be a real person, a real name, a real picture. And on Facebook, they actually want, this time, instead of incognito, they want a page filled with friends, giving an invitation, come be my friend. In fact, it's almost a thing about who can have the most friends. You know, I have 6,500 friends on my page. What's their names? I don't know. But they're all my friends. And so the world couldn't find satisfaction in total privacy. And so now it's almost like they're seeking publicity. I want everyone to be my friend. I want everyone to be on my page. I want everyone to wonder what I'm doing, who I'm talking to. And so come see. So it's almost like seeking publicity. And then comes along Twitter. And it's almost like now, it's like, now don't just visit my page once a week to see what I'm doing or who I've been talking to, but now I'm going to tweet. And I want you to jump at it and see what I'm tweeting. You know what that reminds me of? At our house, there's a bird. I don't know if I can do it. It goes. I don't know what bird does that. It goes. I'm probably way out of tune from that bird, but and so this bird will start to, and another bird will answer it. Has anyone ever heard? Okay. Another bird with that same sound will answer, so I'll start doing it. And I think I goofed those birds really up. And then I'll try to imitate the exact sound, those two notes. And then on purpose, I'll get way off tune just to see what the bird will do. I'm not sure what the bird does. I haven't figured that out. My study hasn't been long enough. I've got to get a government grant to figure out what effect of what that does on those birds. They'll probably throw me in jail driving those birds nuts. But so anyway, Twitter, they tweet. I don't know. I think it's like, I've been told it's like 40 characters, 40 letters is all you can tweet. And then I can't imagine following that bird around all day through the woods every time he tweets, you know. But to me, it's just the pendulum is swinging. They sought privacy. And now the world is seeking publicity. And, you know, it used to be that diaries were kind of private, but, and so there's blogs now. And if you're computer illiterate, you may say, you lost me about 10 minutes ago. MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, blogs. You know, what is all this? Well, a blog is kind of like a personal diary that someone writes online. They give their opinion of whatever, and a blog is normally allows you to comment. Now, can you imagine writing a diary and leaving it out for all of your family then to comment? I can think of a lot of better things to do, you know, than do that. But that's basically what a lot of these blogs are. They will give their opinion of something, And then you can write your opinion of their opinion. And then you get to read everybody's opinion of their opinion. And you know what it becomes? Well, one thing it becomes is a great time waster is what it becomes. But anyway, that's kind of what's going on out there in the computer world. And as I stop and ponder it, I just think the world didn't find satisfaction in privacy. And I'll guarantee you the world will not find satisfaction in publicity. I don't care how many people you can get to get on your page or how many people you can get to follow your tweets. It won't satisfy. We don't want people being on our page, if you please. We don't want people following us. We want people following God. We are ambassadors. We are not the president. We are just representatives of someone else. We are representatives of Christ. And so I just use those as examples this morning to say something else will come along. On the MySpace, I forget what they said was lost. I believe it said that they had like 1,000 employees, but they lost, I don't know how many million dollars. And right now, it's Facebook that's this Harvard student created it, and I forget how many billion dollars Facebook is worth right now. Well, I would say the guy's crazy not to sell it right now, because something else will come along, because it will not satisfy. Publicity, getting people to follow you, will not satisfy, and they'll move on to something else. And so let's go to John chapter 10. We know who that one is, and it's Jesus. There's no one else really that will meet the needs of our hearts. There's no one else that will really satisfy in our lives. We know that. John chapter 10, verse 9. He said, I am the what? Door. You know what? A lot of people feel confined. A lot of people feel confined. They think there's got to be something else out there. There's got to be a door that I'm missing. There's got to be more to life. I can't see myself happy. I don't know what to do. Well, there is a door, and it's Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved. And shall what? Go in and out. Sometimes people think, oh, the Christian life is so confining. So many rules. That's the way it may appear from the outside, but not the inside. He shall go in and out and find what? Pasture. When a sheep finds pasture, that is contentment. That's satisfaction. That's getting your needs met. He goes on, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to what? Steal. And to what? Kill. And to what? Destroy. So many times the world puts it on our young people about, oh, you can't smoke. You can't drink. You can't be immoral. Oh, you poor thing. You're so confined. No, it's verse 10. It's the thief that's trying to get them to do all those things. Get them hooked on tobacco and alcohol and immorality, because then they become the slave. Whosoever committeth sin is what? The servant of sin, John 8:34. But Jesus goes on to say, I am come that they might have what? Life. You know, the world says, get a life. You know what? We have the life. They don't know anything about. That they might have life, and that they might have it what? More abundantly. You know what that is? A satisfying life. That they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. In other words, really living. The only way to really live is to give my space to God. I don't have a space. The only space in my life should be his space, because he is my life. And I shouldn't be trying to surround myself with friends. I should be trying to reconcile people to God. That should be the goal of my life. I shouldn't be worried about tweeting here and there. I should be worried about giving out God's word. If they're going to follow something, let it be scripture. Give a little scripture. Let them follow that. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you'd help us. Lord, as we just stand back a little bit and see what's happening, we find that the world sought their privacy and it didn't satisfy. And so now they're seeking all kinds of publicity. And we know that will not satisfy either. We know that the only thing that satisfies is Jesus Christ, the perfect, pure Son of God who gave his precious blood to wash away our sins. And so I pray, Father, that if there should be any here this morning that have never repented of their sin and given their lives to Jesus Christ, may they do so this morning. And I pray that you would help us. Help us, Lord, in life not to get sidetracked, but to be ambassadors for Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.